Welcome back to the program. It's the extended news at noon on WISR 680 AM. I'm Tyler Friel with you. And we are now joined on the line by the Republican in the Senate 41st District. He is seeking re-election, and that is Joe Pittman. Joe joins us by telephone. Senator, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Tyler, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, we'll start where the same question that I have asked every candidate so far running in local elections is, why are you running again for, well, in this particular case, why are you running again for state Senate? Is there one big issue that really drives you to join public life?
Well, I've grown up in this area, as has my wife, and we're raising our four children in western Pennsylvania, and my overriding desire to be in public service is to try to foster economic opportunities and community revitalization efforts throughout our region so our kids and our grandkids have the same opportunities that my wife and I have had and so many others. And I think one of our biggest issues is our overall demographic situation. Our populations generally are aging and declining, and Butler County has actually been a shining example of how to do it right. In much of Butler County, there's economic growth and there's population growth, and I'd like to do my part in helping that continue.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit, because, you know, one of the recurring themes also of this election does seem to be the population. You had mentioned an older demographic and a demographic that's not as large as it used to be. Go back to even here in Butler. And as you had mentioned, you know, my high school graduating class in the late 2010s was 550, you know, go back to the 1980s, it was over 1,000. Essentially, what can this area do to bring more people to come live here, work here, and contribute to the economy?
Well, our state in its own right is not a very competitive or attractive place to do business. We have a lot of challenges statewide in that regard, but we also have our regional challenges, and a lot of that deals with infrastructure and investment. Broadband infrastructure for rural communities is becoming increasingly important. Highway infrastructure is obviously important. And then also a positive overall climate where people want to do business. And, you know, Butler County, the portion I represent Middlesex Township and across the Buffalo Township and then up north into the Carn City area. And, you know, Middlesex and Clinton and Buffalo Township are very much growth communities. There's a lot of growth and development occurring there. Your county commissioners have, to their credit, made 228 a significant priority, and that's something that I want to support. So those are the types of initiatives I see as critical to helping the area move forward.
I want to talk to, and we're here with Republican Senator Joe Pittman, who is seeking re-election to the 41st District. COVID-19, obviously, that's one of the major crises facing the state of Pennsylvania right now. Wanted to get your thoughts on where Pennsylvania needs to go from here. There's been a lot of rehashing as to what should and shouldn't have happened, but as we sit here in late October, heading into the end of the year, what do you believe Pennsylvania's philosophy should be moving forward?
Well, I think we need to take an approach of keeping a close eye on the hospitalizations and the mortality rate. The hospitalizations in particular, when this pandemic began, the objective was to ensure that the hospital system did not get overwhelmed. And fortunately, here in Pennsylvania, the hospital system never did get overwhelmed. We know much more about this virus than we did in the beginning. We understand the vulnerable populations, particularly our elderly and those in nursing homes. And I think that needs to be a focus, is to make sure we keep a close eye on where hospitalizations are, make sure that system does not get overwhelmed, and focus on ways to help our most vulnerable populations stay safe and healthy throughout this. We have to continue the process of reopening our economy, though. The devastation that we witnessed by that shutdown is going to reverberate for years. And we have to be able and willing to take a broad look at the decisions we make and the negative consequences that they have in much greater ways, in much different ways.
One of the areas, too, in terms of decisions that Pennsylvania will have to make is when it comes to the state budget. Right now, there's anywhere between a $4 to $6 billion deficit facing Pennsylvania right now. How do you see decision makers in Harrisburg coming to reaching a balanced budget? Where are programs that you can cut? Where are taxes potentially that you could raise? How do you somehow find your way back from a $4.5 billion deficit?
Well, and unlike our friends at the federal government, we don't have the ability to deficit spend and print money. And so we do have to balance a budget. I think what we did in May in a very strong bipartisan fashion was very important. We helped bring a level of certainty into our budgeting and provided some assurances, significant assurances to our school districts and universities that they would be fully funded. While part of the budget expires on November 30th, the most significant appropriations, which in my opinion are to higher education, basic education, our pension debt obligations, were funded for a full 12 months. So we have that level of certainty within the budgeting process. It's now up to us to figure out what the viable path is forward since between November 30th and July 1. I will say that, you know, our revenue numbers are improving. Part of why we did the five-month budget was to try to let this settle out and see where we are. And, you know, fortunately, we're starting to see some opportunity to be in a better place than where we were, certainly back in May.
You've been an outspoken opponent of the regional greenhouse gas initiative, or at least how the governor has handled it. How do you see balancing the environment and keeping energy jobs afloat in your district?
Well, we can have that balance. And we have seen, thanks to the advent of Marcellus Shale natural gas, our carbon emissions in Pennsylvania drop dramatically just by market forces. There is no question that natural gas has overtaken coal is a primary source of electricity generation. But still, we have four coal-fired power plants in Pennsylvania. They are all within this region, and they employ thousands of people. The frustrating part of this to me is that we are part of a 13-state power grid, and we currently export electricity from Pennsylvania to other states. By implementing this carbon tax and forcing our power generation, not just coal but also natural gas, to be uncompetitive is simply a windfall to Ohio and West Virginia. I've worked very closely with the trade unions in this area who maintain these power plants, and they will tell you that they are currently working in West Virginia and Ohio on coal-fired power plants, modernizing them and renovating them, because they're looking at an opportunity here to pick up the power that we're prepared to take offline. And so it really equates to no net benefit as it relates to the climate. The governor is doing this unilaterally. It's a $300 million tax. And frankly, I think the legislature needs to be part of that process and to approve any tax that's proposed by a governor. And right now he has his head down and seems to be unwilling to engage in any kind of real conversation with the legislature.
I want to talk, too, about the state system of higher education, especially here over the past few weeks. We've been learning more about some of their future plans. How do you think the future of the state system looks? I mean, 14 state-sponsored universities, and it seems like the one answer to help make them more financially sustainable would be to raise tuition, but we know no administration wants to actively do that.
Well, the landscape of education is changing dramatically and quickly. And the 14 schools within the state system are educating about 30,000 fewer students than they did at their peak 10 years ago. And so in my opinion, the system needs to be right-sized. Some of this is demographics, as we discussed earlier. Some of this is if you raise tuition, you price the system out of the market. Slippery Rock has done an excellent job of defying the odds. Their enrollment is stable. They're financially healthy. But the same can't be said for the other schools in the system. So this is a painful exercise, but I do believe that the efficiency in the long run will help the system schools and help them right size to the offerings that students of today want without completely closing college campuses, which I think would be a mistake.
And, you know, while the education is obviously extraordinarily important, these colleges and universities do serve as a major economic player in their regions. Indiana University, Pennsylvania, for example. I mean, that's a major economic player. So, again, when you're balancing that act, how do you try to keep a major economy player like IUP involved in the system, but also trying to make sure that state system works all across the board?
Well, and that's been the challenge with the state system, because there are 14 universities and they are all in varying degrees of financial stability. They all rise and fall together. And IUP has certainly had its enrollment challenges. It remains the second largest system school in the state. But they have to, in my opinion, become more competitive. I've been working with Dr. Driscoll very closely. A lot of times the expense of college is much more than just tuition. It's also housing. And right now, IUP in particular is not very competitive when it comes to on-campus housing rates. And so I think that's a big element of where they need to go, because obviously if you become more competitive, you bring more students in, you're generating more tuition dollars, that's the way to ultimately fix this problem. We as a state legislature cannot continue to subsidize state system schools, certainly to the level that it would require to keep them where they are today.
One of the last ones for you, and we're here with Senator Joe Pittman. He is the Republican for the senatorial 41st district seeking re-election. Would be just to the size of the legislature. It's one of the largest all across the United States. Do you think it's in a good spot right now, over 200 state House representatives and then the 50 members in the Senate? Do you think that's a good size for the legislature, or do you see any areas where you would like to reform how the state legislature is put together?
I do think that we should consider reduction of both chambers. Having said that, to put into perspective, every state Senate district represents approximately 250,000 people. And whether you're in the north central part of Pennsylvania or whether you're in the city of Pittsburgh, you need to have 250,000 people in your legislative district. That can pose a challenge from a representation point of view. And if you look at this 41st district, it is all of Indiana County, all of Armstrong County. It goes down into Murraysville and picks up the municipality of Murraysville, and then it has essentially the eastern border of Butler County. It's a very big territory. It's difficult to get around in to communicate with your constituents, and that is a downside of reducing the size of the legislature. But at the end of the day, I think it could be modernized, and there could be some reductions that I would be willing to support.
He's Senator Joe Pittman, seeking re-election for the senatorial 41st district. Senator, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, Tyler. I appreciate it.